Exciting edition of Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr. For some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm old, you suppose. It's this is being edited on May the 5th, 2006, which is a Friday, and a beautiful Friday. We're due a little rain in Texas, but don't know if that's going to materialize. Our guest today is Larry Skutkan, who has had a wonderful life. And is the father, in case you didn't know, of Bookbort, the very popular appliance, very popular, I guess you could call it personal. It's almost a personal digital assistant, but the very popular way of reading digital audio books marketed by the American Printing House for the Blind. He as he said, that's his baby. He did the work on, well, he'll tell you about it in the interview. Let's say hi, and Larry, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
Well, doing pretty good. It's about 82 degrees in Texas, and couldn't be better weather.
Well, unfortunately, we got a little cold and rainy after some beautiful days here in Louisville, but that's all right. Good day to stay inside.
So you're in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
Right there with the home of the Printing House.
And the Derby next week.
And the Derby next week. My heavens.
Yeah, this is going to be one crazy town.
It will be. It will be. Do you stay home or do you go or what do you do?
I've never gone yet, but somebody suggested we do a blind cool tech from the Derby. So I think we're going to go down to the infield and do it.
I'd say that's probably not a bad idea.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You might as well. And the grandchildren are down napping, you say? I think we called yesterday. They were visiting with you. A little bit.
Yeah, my granddaughter, Marley, she's taking a nap.
That's good. Always glad to get them down for a nap. Mine are grown. My grandkids grew up on me.
Wow.
So I guess it's time for great-grandkids now.
Yep, I believe so.
It all means money. That's all it's all about, is handing out the money. Are you a native of Louisville? You lived there all your life, or where were you born? What was your childhood spent?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force, so I pretty much lived all over the world.
Oh, is that right?
In fact, I grew up quite a bit in Germany and learned German right at the same time as English. But I can't speak any of it now. But dad retired in Arkansas, and that's where I finished up high school and went to college. And got a chance to come to work for the Printing House back in 85. And moved on up to Louisville and
been there ever since.
Well, pretty much. I had a software business too, and I had quit the Printing House and moved sort of in your neck of the woods over in Texarkana for seven years or so, and then come back to the Printing House.
Boy, you never want to quit those good jobs, Larry.
No, that's the insurance and steady paycheck and not having to work 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's got its advantages.
Just not having to think, just go to work and do your jobs all you have to do.
Exactly.
So you learned German as a child, but you've forgotten, you say, all of it now.
Yeah, you know how it is when you're a kid and people are, oh, speak some German. I guess it kind of embarrassed me or something. I can't speak a word of it now.
Don't know any of it now, but you spent some childhood time in Germany.
Yep, yeah.
Now, were you of school age then, or were you, I guess you were...
No, I was young. I was, I think we moved over there when I was two or three. Spent 3 years there.
You have siblings?
Yep, my two sisters were both born over there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, Dad, you and Dad and family lived everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, they're actually in Texas now. One in Dallas and or in Plano, and one in Corpus Christi.
And as a you know, the others all have good sight, good eyes.
Yeah, I'm the only one that got blessed with the vision.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way it is. And you say that you did you go to any blind schools and you're moving around?
No, you know, Phil, I never did lose my eyesight till I was 21.
Oh, you had perfect eyesight till you were 21.
Well, you call it, I guess, normal.
Normal eyesight. I mean,
perfect.
When you were a teenager, you could drive the car.
Yeah.
Oh my! I did not know that. I didn't realize that. So I don't know how old you are, but
48.
So you've been blind about since you're 21. You said.
Yeah.
And what happened? How did you lose your eyesight?
I had detached retinas in both eyes. One when I was 16, so I really only had good vision in one eye when I was driving. And then I lost the retina detached in the other one when I was about 21. And I don't really know why. They say, you know, it's from a blow to the head or, you know, other things like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get a particularly strong blow to the head that I remember or anything.
And a guy would tend to remember that.
You would think so.
If he had a blow to the head, I think you'd think he would. But, you know, you're not the only person I've talked to when one detached then the other one did.
Yeah, I've heard of that, too.
Soon after that. And so had you begun a college? Had you started college or started work, started an adult life when you lost your eyesight?
Yeah, I was married, and I was actually in a vocational. I had actually done repair work on oil wells there in southwest Arkansas, northeast Texas, and northwest Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
As a roustabout. We'd
really?
Repair the oil wells. Yeah, and then I was going to a Votech school learning air conditioning and refrigeration when this started. I could see I was in class, in fact, and I saw the fluorescent light at the top of my vision had a little bend in it, and I knew right away what it was.
Because of the other one? Because of the loss of the other one?
With the other one, yeah.
My, that's pretty traumatic, pretty hard on a 21-year-old.
It gave me a pretty sick feeling in my stomach.
I would imagine it did. Did your marriage survive?
Yeah, it did. Sure did.
Well, that's good.
About 5 years ago, anyway.
Well, you know, I don't have much room to talk. I've been married several times myself. But, and so you were learning air conditioning, refrigeration, but you'd worked in the oil field. That's pretty rough work. I mean, I know some people who've done that, and that's pretty hard manual labor, isn't it?
It is, and it's in the elements. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's snowing or 110 degrees out there. You know, you need to do it.
you're out there doing it.
Yeah.
So what did you think? What did you do? What was your first move? What did you decide to do?
Well, the first thing I did was get in touch with a doctor, of course, and went down to Dallas and had surgery. And I actually were able to repair it for a while. It stayed on for about 6 more months and then came back off again.
And so, lights out.
By the time that happened, I was pretty used to the idea that I was going to have some problems.
Here. Lights out again, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you had to kind of rethink things. No more refrigeration. Of course, you know now that you probably could have done that, but back then you didn't.
No, I was actually contemplating going into law, and I had been thinking that anyway when I was in high school. So I kind of took the opportunity to take a few years out and get my bachelor's degree, and was going to go to law school and got sidetracked on these computers.
These damned old computers.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably better off. There are a lot of lawyers, and they don't all make money. You know, there's lots of them.
Exactly.
I'm married to one.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm married to a lawyer. She and her two brothers and her father practice here in Lufkin. She does a lot of domestic. Her brother does mostly criminal work, and her one of her brothers has worked on both sides. He's sued doctors and he's defended doctors. So
that's what you can do when you're a lawyer.
he's done both, and so we actually pick up a little business from doctors because they really like somebody who's worked both sides.
Yeah.
And he has. He's Scottish. Scott has done both. And, of course, their dad, their father graduated law school, was county attorney here in town for a number of years. And John Henry's 71 years old. Her daddy's 71 years old and fixed to get married again.
No, I'll be darned.
And in good health, runs every day, just in good health, and a wonderful person. It's a wonderful family that I'm married into. So you,
it's nice when you can be young at 71, you know what?
He is. He's in better health than I am, and I'm 65. So what did you get your bachelor's degree in?
English, of all things.
Is that right?
And political science.
Thought you wanted to be a writer or what?
English is actually a good degree to get for many things. Like I said, I was going into law.
Yeah. But, or you thought you were.
I thought I was, yeah.
And then you got sidetracked by computers.
I did, and I just I haven't been able to put them down since. I mean, they continue to fascinate me every day.
Well, they're here to stay. I mean, they're not. You know, we're not going to be without them ever.
It's even going to get more exciting here.
It's just getting more exciting. The digital world is a wonderful thing. It's
We're really on the frontiers of this right now. This is primitive stuff we're doing right now, believe it or not, compared to the way it'll be in a few years.
When you think about, if you compare it to some other things, yes, we're just on the beginning, in the beginning stages of the way things are going to be.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I'm ready for all the rapid change, but I sure do like the world of digital. Just being able to slap something on the CD, and you know, I'm recording football games for my brother-in-law. Used to, you'd put those on cassette and have to time them on reel to reel. Now I just put them on CD for him. You know, why not?
And you know that audio, that's just one aspect of how they've affected society. And man, you got to admit, just to slap the stuff over on the book port your shows, that's the only way I listen to them is through the podcast.
Yeah, download them to your book port and
absolutely.
Yeah, book port has been a good thing. I was a little leery of it first, but since they've got it, since the new versions of the firmware where it'll play MP3 files now. Whereas to begin with it wouldn't. But and so you got into computers. How did that come about? How did that happen?
Well, let me think. I was reading some NLS books, and I don't even remember which one it was, but one of them was talking about synthesized speech. So I started kind of following that thread a little bit and found out there was this computer called the Texas Instruments TI-99-4A that you could get a speech synthesizer for.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought one of those, and I don't know if I had my wife or my kids reading me the books, but pretty soon it didn't take me too long to get it where I could program it and make programs talk, and just got totally fascinated with it. You know, I started thinking right away about, wow, you know, what if you could make programs write programs and all that.
But you didn't go to any formal training to learn this. You did this just sort of on your own?
Right, yeah. I still haven't had any formal training in computers.
Yeah. But yet
I took a couple of classes in college, but no degrees or anything.
Yeah.
I've got the degrees of lots of hours, though, I'll tell you that.
I think back in the 90s, my wife Luann went to take a computer course and ended up teaching it. She knew more than the instructor. We had I think at that time we had a 386, that old 386, and she went out to Angelina College, and she ended up knowing more than the instructor. Anyway, and so you got into computers, and you had a software company for a while, and I guess we're able to make a living with it.
Oh, yeah, very, very good living, as a matter of fact.
Did you write your own software and have a program that you...
I did. I wrote, back in the Apple days, the first thing I wrote was a word processor called Word.
Yeah.
And it was pretty interesting because, once I finally realized that blind people weren't really using the screen... I think this is still the coolest feature. I wish I still had it. I started making it where the arrow keys would move by sentences instead of by screen lines.
Uh-huh.
And, that was really the way to write, because, you know, I was in English anyway, so you know, this makes so much more sense because you're moving by the flow of ideas instead of this artificial boundary on the screen that we're not even using. But it really drove sighted people nuts because the cursor could go down two lines and over, you know, or whatever.
In other words, when you down arrowed, it would do a whole sentence instead of just doing the
exactly.
next. Instead of just doing the word, when you right arrow, it would do a whole sentence.
Well, the right arrow would do words, but up and down arrow would do sentence. It
would just do the whole sentence and stop by the period. It would stop by the question mark or what was at the end of the end
exactly.
of the. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, think about it. It makes sense.
And I wrote a terminal program because back then it was telecommunications was a lot more primitive than it is now. And there wasn't a good accessible terminal program for the Apple. So
you've lost me. I don't understand the terminal program. I don't understand what you're talking
about. Well, back in the old days, you know, you'd had modems, and like if you were going to school, you'd have to dial a number with your modem, and their computer would answer, and then you'd log on there.
Yeah.
Wasn't like going through the internet now.
Yeah.
And you had to use a terminal program to do that. So that's what I wrote was called ProTerm.
And you wrote these all with some sort of built-in speech or were they accessible to blind people?
Yeah, on the Apple, I still had the TI, but I'd gotten Apple IIe, and it had TextTalker sort of built into it. It was software you could run, and I'd write these programs so that they would work with TextTalker. Because most everybody that was using the Talking Apple already had this. You know, if they bought the Echo Speech Synthesizer, they had this capability to talk. So this software would work with that synthesizer.
And how did you sell these? How did blind people know about these?
Let me think. How did I? Well, you know, back in those days, there was a guy named Joe Giovanelli that had a magazine called BOD, Blind Apple User Discussion.
Uh-huh.
I ended up actually taking over that magazine for several years after he got tired of it or whatever. But I think I listened to that and probably sent in an ad or something into that. And there was a guy actually here in Kentucky. I was living in Little Rock at the time. Fred Gazzoni had somehow heard about this ProWords, this word processor software.
That you had, yeah.
And he started buying it for medical transcribers in the state here. And, gosh, I remember the first one I ever sent up there. I mean, I insured it to the hilt, not thinking, well, hey, it's on a 32-cent disc. You know, if it gets lost, I'll send them another one.
That was my next question. What did you make copies of this program yourself and sold it as needed? As you sold, somebody wanted to buy one, where you'd run them a copy and send it to them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there wasn't any kind of volume to do shrink wrap and warehousing or anything like that.
No, there was nothing like that.
And
there wasn't enough internet. You couldn't sell them on the internet because there really wasn't one. I mean, there was, but
yeah, it wasn't in general use at the time. This was back in the probably 84, somewhere in there, 83, 84. In fact, Fred is really the one that when APH, the research department, decided they needed to get into technology. He is the one that gave him my name as somebody that, you know, might possibly be willing and able to do what they were after.
When this was your first incarnation at the printing house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it has. It's been a good marriage. I've loved working there, and I think they love having me. They say they do.
Well, they say they could be lying, but we hope they're not. We assume that they're not. And so you were able for a while to actually survive selling software.
And absolutely. In fact, I was, after I went to APH, I started working on a DOS screen reader called ASAP. And I was making way more money on that than I was at APH. So that really I was able to survive off of just fine. In fact, I was able to quit APH. And the reason I did that, I wanted to work on the Windows version of that. And I did get that released, but never was able to keep it up like I needed to. I really needed to hire a couple more people to do software, because the days of the one or two-man programmer shop were about over.
But then when you start hiring people, you start having problems. You know that you knew that as well. It's just, the thing that's amazing to me is I didn't have any idea any of this was going on. I don't know what I was doing, but I had no idea that we had any speech software, any talking, any software of any kind that would speak to blind people. I just had no.
Is that right?
Yeah, not till the mid 90s. I didn't know why, where I was, what I was thinking, where I was doing.
Must have been in Lufkin.
I could have been in Lufkin. Actually, I was, but I was working at the radio station. I didn't need it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I had a job. I wasn't. My world was not involved very much, really very much at all with blind people at that point in time.
Yeah.
And so you just evolved, and you quit them for a while, and then you came back to the printing house.
I did. Yeah.
And how the printing house, the Bookport is a printing house product, right?
You bet.
And
that is my baby.
That is your baby. You you designed Bookport.
Well, no, actually, what happened, I designed the software that runs on Bookport.
Okay.
The hardware is the same, pretty much the same hardware as the Book Courier. Really, the only difference in the two is the keypad and then all the software that runs on the device itself. So it's a totally different user interface on each of them.
Yeah, but they do basically the same thing.
Basically, yeah.
And they don't run your in Book Courier. Does it use your software?
Right. They use their own software in that. See, we wanted something. Book Courier was really designed for, you know, it could be used for blind people, but the market initially was learning disabled. So I really wanted to get something that was totally dedicated for blind people. Like, I mean, there were just simple functions like being able to move character by character, or spell letters out phonetically, or spell a word out. The Braille, you know, we added this Braille input, and that, you know, that was in the specs from the very beginning. It just took us a while to get it all worked out. So we just wanted a machine that was totally dedicated to the needs of a blind or a visually impaired person. And I think we pretty well got it with Bookport. You know, we're doing the protected content from RFBND and Audible.com and
that's what I use it
NLS
for.
Digital Talking Books. So, you know, and Book Courier, I think they've probably got some of that now. I know they've got the Audible. So, you know, we just wanted to make sure we had a device that, because this thing was so close already, but, you know, just needed a few extra things to make it seemingly the perfect tool.
You know,
now that we look back on it, back in, there's a lot we could do to it to make it better.
Well, I'm sure you will. I'm sure that someday there'll be a Bookport too, won't there? I mean, you know.
Yep, there sure will. Absolutely.
The only complaint I have now with Bookport, if Bookport had a line in, it would be the greatest invention in the world.
Yeah, and a better built-in microphone.
Yeah, if I don't need it for that. I don't use it for that. I use a $40 RCA recorder in my pocket. I don't need it for note taking.
Yeah,
I don't even use that feature. They could have left that off for me.
But, well, yeah, but what about if it was a high quality recorder? I mean, real high quality.
If it was a high quality recorder, I would love it. That would be if it had a line in and it was a high quality recorder. But then it would cost $1,000. Then it would be a PTR. You know, then it would be a Plex Talk, wouldn't it?
Well, I think we're going to try to do something along those lines for around the same price range we got it at now.
I've even learned to read books with a speech. I didn't think I could, but and Tim Cummings kept telling, you know Tim Cummings?
I sure do.
He said, you know, you old blind guys, you need to shape up and learn to use this speech. We've been using it for years. And so I've actually read a couple of books with the Bookport speech, and it's usable. I mean, it's
You know, and the more you read, the less that will interfere with you. You don't even notice it after a while.
Once I'd done two chapters, I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah,
it wasn't
amazing.
You know, I was just clicking along, and then I realized, well, hell, I'm reading with this speech that I don't like.
You know, you might be surprised, Phil. There's a large number of people that actually prefer synthesized speech over recorded audio.
Really?
I mean, you have. The ability to speed it up and slow it down so easily. You have the consistent pronunciation. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people, me included, I can catch a misspelled word just by the way it's pronounced with the synthesizer.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, and we want to come back and talk about Blind Cool Tech.
The website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
All right, fellas, I'm talking to you. You know, it's that time when you probably should get some flowers for your girlfriend or for your mom, if it's Mother's Day, or whatever the case may be. And where do you go? Well, many of you have heard about 1-800-FLOWERS, but did you know that 1-800-FLOWERS is also available on the web at www.1800flowers.com? And, of course, you can order flowers from them, all different types of flower arrangements, but you also can order cookies and cakes and different kinds of gourmet foods to send to people and different kinds of gifts. There's quite a lot of different things you can order for that special person in your life, and it's a pretty accessible site. I give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 7. So if you're sitting by your computer and you don't want to pick up the phone and dial and you want to check out what's available, type into your browser www.1800flowers.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
All right, Blind Cool Tech. Tell us how that came about. Tell us about it. It's your that also is your baby.
It is, yeah. Well, Blind Cool Tech is a podcast, and I presume many of your listeners know about podcasts, but I'll just kind of give a brief idea of what they are. But in fact, Phil's two shows, Blind Like Me and Blind Handyman, are both delivered as podcasts.
Yes, they are.
And what a podcast is a file, a recording, it could be video or audio, could be just about anything. And you have software that in which you subscribe to these shows, and they're usually free. Subscribing is just a way of delivering the content to you. And once you've subscribed to a show with your software, anytime Phil or me or whatever podcast you subscribe to puts up a new show, it automatically gets delivered to your computer. So it's a relatively new phenomenon. It's not a new idea. It's just a combination of...
Well, or you can go get it. I mean, if you can
you
go...
You sure can, if you don't want to...
If you don't want to have it delivered, right. you can go look. Like on Blind Cool Tech, there are hundreds of them.
Yep, 596 of them.
podcasts on everything. I mean, on
everything.
On just all kinds of things.
You name it, it's up there. And, so we were just talking about the book port a while ago. One of the things that we didn't have, believe it or not, at APH was content that we could use, you know, just to give away.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of stuff that we'd recorded for NLS and books. Of course, we record thousands of books, but none of it was really ours. So I started out just doing some training podcasts, just introduction to the book port and some of the more advanced features and so forth. And Then the next day I get the bright idea, well, I'm going to just show people how it is to walk with a guide dog. And then it was bowling night, so I took everybody bowling with the recorder. And people started getting a little interested in it, so I started doing more. I actually mowed the lawn. And I've heard your shows on mowing lawns, too. So
yeah.
I just do it because I can, and it's not that bad. And I showed people, you know, kind of the way I did it. And I just freely admit it's very inefficient.
But I haven't heard the I'll have to go hear the lawn mowing one.
We have done just about everything, just about. And one of the things, too, that I've learned as I've started doing these things is, you know, how to set recording levels and getting some decent mics and not paying a real fortune for them. But one of the things that a lot of podcasts do is something called sound seeing tours, where they'll, just go to a museum or, you know, some place of interest. Like we had one guy that sent one in to Blind Cool Tech that was looking for the Loch Ness Monster, you know, and they're out there on the lake.
Yeah.
And he recorded this whole thing in stereo, so you get, you know, you put some headphones on and you are virtually there. You know, you can hear the water. And it just kind of grew out of that. And, I asked people to please do send in information, you know, because one of the first things I found out is, wow, there's a lot of sharp people out there that know a lot of stuff. And
there really are.
A great way to disseminate the information.
You know, I always say I've learned a whole lot more from this show than I've given. I've gotten a whole lot more than I've given. There are lots of sharp blind people.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's amazing to me. I had no idea.
I didn't either. I thought I was the only one. No.
Well, we both probably thought we were the only one, but you know how that goes. But I was going to say, not only you doing things up there, but there are podcasts that people have sent you that by lots of other people.
Lots, yeah, from all over the world, too. Got several people in the UK that submit regularly, and some people send in some fun ones, too. Jim Gannon out in California sent in a recording he did about 10 years ago of them just running over a guitar. They had an old guitar they were going to get rid of, so they decided to put it in the driveway and run over it with a car.
That's
silly stuff like that.
I love
that.
And now, you record these on, I don't know, a Sony mini disc, on some sort of an MP3 recorder, and then you bring them back and you take the file and you may edit it some, or you may, but anyway, you have to get it into to a format where it can be downloaded as a podcast.
Yep, and a lot of people just use these little Olympus digital recorders. You know, those are fine for making recordings.
That's what I had in my pocket when I fell in the pool.
That should have been an interesting podcast.
I wish I'd done it. If I wish I'd known I was going to do it, we'd have that. It took out the Olympus. I bought an RCA after that.
Yeah, I bet that would.
Anyway, if you use those Olympus on the best quality, they make a fine recording.
They make a very nice recording.
Of course, it's mono.
Stereo, even.
I've never seen one in stereo.
Yeah, but all the new ones, the higher-end ones do.
Yeah, I've just...
This little Olympus WS320M is one of the nicest little recorders I have ever seen. It actually pulls apart, and then the USB port is just built right into the recorder, so you just plug it into your computer and just copy the files off. Very nice.
Yeah, what do I have? Audible gave me a player like that.
Yeah.
A couple of generations ago, I think.
The Otis, probably.
The Otis, or maybe the one after that. I can't remember what they called it, but they every year when my subscription's up, I call them and get a new player. Why not?
There you go.
There's no reason not to. You know, you might as well. But, go ahead.
Except for filling up your junk drawer.
Well, I'm a gadget. You know, I'm like the rest of y'all. I'm a gadget fool. I like having little, you know, gadgets around. From my chair, you can do anything. You can listen to Sirius Satellite. You can listen to XM Satellite. You can listen to the weather. You can, of course, tune AM and FM radio. You can tune the satellite television. You can listen to Talking Book all through one set of speakers.
Well, you don't ever have to get up, do you?
I don't. I can do it all from, I've got it all wired to my in my chair where I can do everything I want to do. I even have a transmitter in the studio. I can, if I record something on my Mackie recorder, I can loop it and go in the house and sit in my chair and listen to it and decide what I've done wrong with the mix.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm a gadget guy. I like little recorders and little things like that. And so there are 500 and something podcasts up there and more every day.
Yeah, we put 13 of them up today.
And this is free.
Yeah.
There's no charge for this.
Totally free. I'm just doing it because, you know, somebody asked me why I was doing it one time, and I had to stop. Why am I doing this?
You're doing it for the same reason I'm doing this.
Because it's fun, huh?
Well, because it's something to do, and because, you know, we've learned, you know, the simplest thing that you think, hell, everybody knows that.
Exactly.
Every blind person doesn't know how to fry an egg.
Exactly.
Every blind person doesn't know how to drive a sheet metal screw, or the difference in a sheet metal screw and a drywall screw. All blind people don't know that, and you know, that's what we've gotten into. The simplest thing that you say may enlighten some person that didn't know. You know?
It really does, and it can be even simpler than that. I mean, we had some discussions on cutting meat. You know, I mean, it can be anything.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because not only is it simple things that, you know, you or I or anybody may know, but there's also some real specialized things come out of it. We've got a lady submitting several of them now, making her own homemade bubble bath and soap and bath fizzies and mm-hmm. stuff, and sending in recordings of the whole process and just almost anything you can imagine. A little bit of it is up there.
And you also have now a chat room, don't you?
Yeah, sure do. It's right there. Well, I should give the web page is blindcooltech.com. And one of the first links up there at the top, there's a chat, so you can get in there and talk with people. We have a listserv. I don't know how your listservs fared through this, but we had some little guy trying to sabotage us and kind of put a little disruption in the listserv for a while.
We've got both ours moderated now.
That's what I had to end up
We've
doing.
Got a moderator on both those, a couple of people who are home in the daytime and that are active with the lists, and so we've got both of them moderated. You join for a while and your messages are moderated for a while, and then once they see you're not going to do anything bad, well, she goes ahead and puts you on on regular status. I didn't know about your list. I guess you can subscribe there at the site.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a contact link up there that gives all the information about how to get hold of us or join the list, or if you want to record something to send out, you can.
To send to the list?
Yeah, or to send to the podcast, yeah.
And there's a review of just about any assistive technology product you'd want. That you'd think of. There's a podcast. Somebody's done a review on it, and it's, you know, if you're in doubt or you're thinking about, well, you know, do I want to buy a PTR? Do I want to buy a Bookport? Do I want to buy this, buy that? Chances are you can find a podcast, somebody describing the good and bad of the item.
Yep. Robert Carter, in fact, just sent one in yesterday about that new Smalltalk Ultra from GW Micro. And, guy sent one in the other day about the Sony PlayStation 2 and how blind people can play the games on it. Just pretty much anything you want. And I know I keep saying that, but it's when you look over the list of things that are up there, you know, it's just a hodgepodge of everything. You're not going to like every one of them, but somebody's going to like some of them.
You can't stream these. You have to take them as a file. You can't. They can't be streamed.
Well, they can be streamed in the sense that you can just go on the page and hit enter on it, and Media Player will start playing it right away.
Yeah.
You know, it'll stream it as it downloads it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because some of us old folks aren't into podcasts yet. Some of you know, I haven't done anything. I haven't downloaded a podcast yet.
Not even your own shows?
I have not. My own shows, I have not. I don't go. I don't listen to your shows. I hear them when they're done. So
there you go.
I'm sick of them. I don't want to hear anymore. You know, and I've got copies of all of them anyway. We do these on a CD, and we keep a WAV file of a regular 80-minute CD of every one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that because eventually I'd like to have my own server. I'd like to get away from the, you know, I'd like to update my own archives. They don't keep those updated well enough to suit me at ACB Radio, but that's neither here nor there. All right, Blind Cool Tech, all one word, BlindCoolTech.com.
Yeah.
BlindCoolTech.com.
Uh-huh.
BlindCoolTech.com. It's all free. All you have to do is go. Is go there and download what you want. You can listen to it, or you can download it to your bookboard or your MP3 player of any kind. And everybody's got one of those now. And
yeah.
All free of charge. Chat in the chat room, I suppose. That's, that's available. And other than that, your life's not going very well, is it?
I'll tell you, I have my down days.
Man, you know, you're doing a wonder. You're doing a nice thing for lots of blind people, and lots of us appreciate it.
Hey, I get more out of it probably than anybody. The thing is, one reason I wanted to start this was to share what I did know, but I didn't realize I was going to get as much out of it as I have. One of the things that really needs to happen next with Blind Cool Tech is organizing it, because right now it's pretty much a list of almost 600 shows that just gives you a line or two about what each one is. And, you know, it'd be nice to go in there and look for demos, reviews, or sound seeing tours. You know, one of the, didn't even mention this, Phil, one of the things that people have been doing too is sending in, I guess you'd call it a profile of themselves, or we're calling it a career cast, where you just tell about your life and what you're doing. And
yeah,
that has turned out to be so inspirational for, I've had professors from universities calling me up and from schools for the blind teachers saying, our kids are listening to these, and it's just so good for them to hear that there's actually... You know, there's actually people out there doing productive work and enjoying life to the fullest. So, yeah, it's been very inspirational.
Yeah, that was the original idea for this, for Blind Like Me, was to use it as an educational tool for blind people who lost their, like you did, at 20, 21 years older because I've told the story a thousand times. I remember being a teenager and wondering, what in the hell am I going to do? How am I going to make it when I grow up? What am I going to be able to do?
We've all wondered that. Yeah.
I'm sure you did at 21 when you lost your eyesight.
No, absolutely.
I'm sure you did. All right, sir, we're going to go, and I think I'll go have a Heineken.
Sounds like a plan.
It does, man. It sounds like a plan to me. And I'm sorry that we were mispronouncing your name. Larry Skutkan, Blind Cool Tech. Check it out.
Larry, all right, thanks,
Larry,
Phil.
Thank you, sir, and I'll let you know when we're going to run this.
About the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.BlindMySmart.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Blind Like Me. It's Phil Parr here, recording on April 30th, 2006. This is a third interview we've done today. This is a designated Sunday interview day. Mama is off at the office doing things, recarpeting her office, so she's putting it all back together. So I thought, well, today would be a good day to do some interviews for Blind Like Me, since we need to do some anyway. Jeff Ballack is our guest. How are you?
I'm doing good.
And you're located where? You told me, but I've forgotten.
In Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana.
Right.
They call that the high country. They call it big sky country. Is that right?
It's the big sky country. And I think Billings is nicknamed the Magic City.
The Magic City?
Yeah.
What's magic about it?
I'm not real sure. They just call it the Magic City.
They call it the Magic City. Yeah. Well, what is your level of vision?
I'm totally blind.
Totally blind and have been all your life?
All my life, yep.
All your life, and I think you told me yesterday you were 26 years old. I would think, from your voice, I would think you were young. That's good, maybe it's bad. I have no idea. But you're very interested in sports. You're, I think that's what you said, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, I'm interested in sports, and I'm majoring in sports management.
Even though you never got to play any sports as a child?
Actually, in elementary school, I did a little bit of karate.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Learned some karate.
Yep, taekwondo.
My wife got a black belt in taekwondo about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
I bought a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. It's a joke. You're supposed to, at this moment, you're supposed to laugh.
Oh.
She took one of my granddaughters and one of her nieces and went to taekwondo classes, and they went long enough, and they all three got black belts. I don't know if they'll ever be useful, but we went to several tournaments, and she was quite good at it. She won several little tournaments. You know, they have a taekwondo tournament, I think, in Little Rock every year.
Yeah.
Arkansas. Did you ever get to go to that?
No, I never did.
No, but you did do some taekwondo when you were younger.
Yes, I did. And then in 7th and 8th grade, during my middle school years, I did a little bit of wrestling.
Is that right? Were you good at that?
I was pretty good. I won a couple of matches.
And you went, let's talk about your early years. When I guess you were born where now?
In Pocatello, Idaho.
Pocatello, Idaho. And your parents allowed you to do pretty much what you wanted to? Allowed you to be a freewheeling blind child, or what?
Pretty much, yeah.
They didn't mind if you... Of course, a lot of parents try to overprotect children and
right.
and that kind of stuff. And I guess, did your parents... How did they treat you as a child?
Pretty good. You know, they expected me to learn a lot, to do certain things around the house.
Yeah, they expected chores out of you, just like, do you have brothers and sisters or not?
Actually, I have a sister who's now living in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, and they expected her to do chores, and they also expected you to do some chores. Right.
Right.
And when they got ready to send you to school, where did they decide to send you, Jeff?
In Layton, Utah, in 1982, 83, and 84, I went to the Utah School for the Blind.
The Utah School for the Blind. I think you're the first one we've ever had from the Utah School for the Blind. Did you stay in the dormitory there? I mean, how did you... did they have dormitory life?
I don't remember much about them.
Really?
Back then. But from 85 through about 2000, we moved to Topeka, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to elementary and high school there.
At the regular public school?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you only did 2 years at a blind school, and that was in Utah. and then moved to Kansas and did the rest of your education at the school, I mean, at a public school, right?
Well, and actually, in the summer of 97 and 99, I think it was, I went to the Kansas State School for the Blind in Kansas City, Kansas, for some work at a local hospital there.
Did they teach you Braille when you were a child, when you were a kid?
Yeah, I learned Braille when I was 5 years old.
And do pretty well at it? You read, do reading pretty well?
Oh, yeah. I do grade one and grade two Braille real well.
Grade one and grade two.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to the Kansas school just in the summer for just some training, but your normal education was in a regular old public school.
Yes, it was.
Well, good. We talk about that all the time, whether it's good or bad to go to public school or blind school, and I guess you got a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And when did your interest in sports start?
I guess it started pretty much in the grade school. You know, like I said, I was in karate when I was younger.
Uh-huh. And did some wrestling.
Yep.
And fell in love with baseball and football and just sports of all kinds.
Yep. Yeah, I listened to all kinds of stuff on the computer. Listened to all kinds of subscriptions of ball games and stuff.
I guess by the time when you came along, by the time you got old enough to be interested in sports, we had computers, didn't we? You don't remember when we didn't, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to I think you said you're in college now. Is that right?
Right. Right.
And you're studying sports management.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's kind of an unusual thing for a blind person to study. What sports management, would that mean someone managing a sports team or working in the front office of a sports team? Or what do people with a sports management degree do?
Basically, what I'll be doing is just helping out with the team and helping out with advertising and promotion.
Advertising and promotions. In other words, they teach you some advertising skills, some marketing skills and things like that?
That's right. I need to learn some marketing and advertising.
What college are you attending?
Montana State University in Billings.
And what year are you in? Are you about to graduate or what?
Yeah, this is my junior year, and I'm going to graduate in spring of 07.
Spring of 07.
Yep.
And I think you said you already had something lined up to do when you get out of school.
Well, I hope to go down to Charlotte, North Carolina right after school gets out and maybe start working for the team, the Charlotte Knights minor league baseball team.
What would you do for them? I mean, what would...
Well, I guess I would be helping out with advertising and promotions.
In other words, they have a stadium that they play in, and you'd want people to advertise on the stadium, and you'd want people to buy blocks of tickets and maybe even some sponsorship. I'm sure someone broadcasts those games on the radio. Would you have anything to do with that? Would you sell? You wouldn't. I guess the radio station would do that.
Yeah, the radio station would broadcast the games.
And so advertising, what do you mean by advertising? You mean advertising on programs or on...
selling programs.
Okay.
And that kind of thing.
Well, I hope that all works out for you. Have you got that as a certainty? I mean, is that something that you've got, or are you just... Have you talked to them? Have you got that all nailed down? And something to do? It'd be nice to have a job you got right out of college, wouldn't it?
I'm working on it, and hopefully I'll be working for the MSU Billings athletic team this year too.
As a what? Working for advertising or working what?
Well, just kind of as an intern internship.
Yeah, you have to be an intern before you can. You have to volunteer to do some things before you can actually get a job. Plan to get a job with them.
Right. Right.
Well, that's an unusual thing for a blind person to decide to do. Did you at one time want to be a play-by-play announcer? Did you ever think about that? I guess it'd be hard to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of talked about maybe doing the color, you know, like the color commentating.
There's no reason why a blind person couldn't do the color if they knew all the stats and knew a lot about the game. There's no reason that a blind person couldn't do the color. Is this first time? Is this your first experience in college? You didn't go to. What'd you do when you got out of high school?
This is my first experience in college. And when I got out of high school, I attended the Colorado Center for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few months it was in Denver, and now it's in Littleton, Colorado.
And what do they teach you?
Daily living skills and independent cane travel and Braille and that stuff.
Yeah, independent cane travel. They didn't teach, because you went to public school, so you didn't get that, did you?
I got a little bit of mobility. You know, I had didn't have a real good rehab agency when I was in Kansas. It was okay, but it wasn't great.
And so back in Colorado, they sent you to this Center for the Blind. What did you call it?
The Colorado Center for the Blind.
Colorado Center for the Blind. And they taught you mobility and what else? Some living, just general living skills or what?
General living skills, mobility, and Braille.
And
industrial arts.
Industrial arts. I don't know what that is. What is that? What is industrial arts?
I think industrial arts has to do with shop. You know,
Okay. Like wood shop or metal shop or what?
Wood shop.
Wood shop. Well, that's good. I'm very interested in that. We do, of course, the blind handyman. We talk about wood shops all the time. Well, and so you decided that you always wanted to do this, and you finally got a chance to go to college and do it.
Right.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an unusual thing for a blind person to do, but I think you'll probably do fine if you have the desire. You may have to work for nothing for a while, but that's what all of us had to do, and to go prove yourself, you know.
Right.
And you're pretty computer literate. You know computers pretty well.
Oh yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's going to help.
Right.
A whole lot, because a lot of the work is going to be done on computers.
Mm-hmm.
Well. All right, I guess we'll let you go, and maybe when you get out of school and get involved with this sports team, this is a baseball team?
Yes, it is.
Maybe you can call us back or get in touch with us and tell us how the job's going and if it's actually working out. Because that's, like I said, isn't that, I don't know of any other blind person who's ever gotten a degree in sports management.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit unusual, isn't it?
Right.
All right, so we're going to go, and I'll look forward to hearing from you when you get your job.
When can I hear your program? I guess on demand.
I'll call you and let you know when we're going to run it. It'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks, but I'll let you know when you're going to be on. How's that?
Okay, and I'm sure actually I can listen to it through next year too. I bet, right?
Through next year? Now I don't understand.
Well, I mean.
It'll be archived, yeah. It'll be in the archives, or you know, if you like, once we get it put together, we'll send you a copy.
Okay, sounds good.
That's a little service we offer. We'll be glad to send you one.